Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
I want my Twitter to just be all jokes, but I'm also so angry about politics all the time.
And mine is only political anger.
Mine's only retweets of people who are smarter than me sharing good opinions.
Yeah.
And then, like, I tweeted for Tig last week, so I have, like, a couple jokes that I was like, well, I better be funny while I have this platform. And then, you know, you get, like, 50 followers, and you're like, okay, I thought it'd be better than that, but...
Right.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's dike out together, see what it's all about.
Diking out, diking out, diking out, diking out.
Hi, and welcome to Diking Out, the podcast where if you say its name three times in front of a mirror, the ghost of Sally Ride appears. I'm Karen Bergier.
And I'm Sarah York.
And today we'll be diking out with comedian and Missy Elliott superfan Kelly Quinn on the topic of the closet. Kelly performs regularly at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater with her team Party City, and as well as the monthly Here and Queer show. So she's a queer, guys. And
queer.
She's here.
Spoilers.
Yeah, this is great. I know we usually do plugs at the end of the show, and we will, but for all of our New York City listeners, I want to remind you all that Sarah and I will both be performing at the Box Show at Caveat this Tuesday, March 20th at 9 p.m. There's also going to be sketches on the show that each of us wrote that we're not performing in, so if you want to see both our writing and our acting chops...
Wow, one come, stop.
Yeah. come out to the Box, and it's going to be an awesome time. Francesca Ramsey and Nagin Farsad are going to be on the panel, and our host with the most, Caitlin Fontana, our token straight woman on Diking Out. She'll be celebrating her birthday and wearing an amazing pantsuit. Yep. You won't want to miss it. Come to Caveat Tuesday, March 20th. One thing I want to bring up before we start getting into things is on our second episode, we talked about how gay Tori from Saved by the Bell was. Like, she was just obviously so gay.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to watch Saved by the Bell.
You weren't allowed to watch?
Oh, no.
Oh, we are going to talk about that in just a second.
Okay, yeah.
So, Kelly Kapowski left for, like, a season, and they brought in this character, Tori, that's supposed to be Zach's love interest, but she's obviously a lesbian. Like, she rides to high school on her motorcycle and always wears this, like, big leather, oversized leather jacket.
Yeah.
Like, she carries herself like a lumberjack, just like her swagger.
She was like a soft butch, I would say.
Well, the actress is actually gay.
Oh,
and that's what I just learned.
Thank God.
And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are like, duh, Carolyn, you should have known this.
I didn't know. I don't even know who she is.
Her name is, I wrote it down, Leanne Creel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, look at that picture, Kelly. Look how dyke she looks.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, totally. I remember being like 13 and just really liking the character and really knowing why.
Yeah.
Something about like her energy.
She's
and her,
way
like,
better than Kelly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Her masculine presence was like, I was like, wow, she's like such a bad bitch. Like, why is she, did she date Zach? Or was it one of those like things where Zach
dated.
Liked her and like, Zach was such a fuckboy anyway.
Yeah, I think they actually dated. But I was just surprised to find out she's like married and has
That's so great.
Two kids.
Does she live in New York? I bet we can get her on the podcast.
Oh, she probably lives in LA, but
probably, yeah.
You guys should record a couple episodes in LA.
Yeah.
Just see who you can get.
Yeah. There are a lot of lesbians out in LA.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Oh my God, now I'm so excited. That's so great.
She'll be like, I'll come on the podcast, but we can't talk about my days as
we're
a story
like,
on
oh,
Saved by the Bell.
As we like cross the topic off of our Saved by the Bell. Guess we'll find something else.
So you couldn't watch?
Yeah.
What were you allowed to watch? What were your parents okay with?
You know, I don't know if my mom takes objection with a lot of my memories from childhood. she feels they're revisionist, but my memory is that my parents didn't want us having cable because I'm sure it was like a cost-saving thing, but also like the specific incident in my mind when my parents were like, we're canceling this, is like I was watching a Michael Jackson concert on MTV, mm-hmm. and I noticed him like, you know, doing his like signature crotch grab and thrust move. And I was like, Mom, why is he touching his personal? And then my mom was like, oh, we don't need this in the house anymore. So and again, she would absolutely take issue with this, and I might be being hyperbolic. But yeah, we had like PBS and like the standard channels. So I watched a lot of like PBS cartoons.
Yeah.
Arthur
was good.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of Arthur. I think, we watched that a lot in school for some reason. That was always like the cartoon that they would put up.
Substitutes
in
came in.
Yeah. The substitute, like the video day kind of thing.
Yeah. I believe Francine was an early cartoon lesbian.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I don't know if you remember Francine.
I'll have to look that up. I was having this conversation with a friend this week about, she was wondering if Patty Mayonnaise was a lesbian.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Huh.
I felt like she never, like, because Doug was like, he loved her. Like, he was in love with her, right?
Yeah.
Like, but they weren't like, she was always like two steps above him, I felt. Like, she was like intellectually superior to him. And I felt like she was just like,
she always seemed oblivious.
Yeah, she didn't really respond to any of that sort of like heteronormative like energy that he was giving off for her.
Yeah.
She's definitely gay, I think.
Yeah. Huh.
That'd be interesting to go back and watch, though.
Yeah, the ones I came up with, well, obviously Peppermint Patty.
Yeah.
And Marcy are total dykes.
Yeah.
And, then also Jane from Daria, I think, is strong bisexual.
Oh my God, I had an odd crush on her when I was a kid. They're animated characters, but I was like, Jane is so cool. She's my favorite. She was always like my total favorite.
Yeah.
Followed closely by Daria, obviously. And then Quinn's friend who talk like this. I liked her.
Oh,
I don't know why.
Yeah,
I thought she was so funny.
Yeah.
And then the stressed out teacher.
Yeah.
That would actually be interesting to go back and look at like some of those cartoons that we grew up on and like figuring out like the undertones, like the kind of gayish undertones of them.
I do want to go back and watch Ninja Turtles because I always thought that April was a lesbian, but maybe it was because her outfit that jumps in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might just be sensible.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Hard to she's say. Very sensible. I remember
That's
her
great.
Like, she could
Didn't
like
Megan
run.
Fox play her in the movie though?
Oh,
I'm pretty sure the maybe, like the yeah. Michael Bay like shitty live action one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I didn't watch that.
No.
No.
I don't watch Michael Bay. That's just an extended Axe body spray commercial.
Speaking of movies, I went to see with my movie pass A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
And the movie's fine, but there was a couple sitting next to us that they were on a first date.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
Who goes to a movie for a first date?
I think it was a first date just based on, the tips there that you've given me, how much is the guy talking versus the girl, and he was doing all the talking.
Yep.
He was, like, very chatty through all the previews, like, had to let her know his opinions, and also any facts he knew about... about like the director or the actor or like, you know, this is based on a book, like all that kind of stuff.
Oh God.
So yeah, it's this white guy and this Asian girl. But while we're sitting there, even before the previews, and this was on the 14th because it was Pi Day.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sure he had something to say about that.
Oh, he had...
I bet he just explained
the number,
what it was.
No, he recited the number pi. to like the 70th digit.
And no
he,
way.
Yeah. He was bragging that at some point he sat down and just memorized pi. Like that's a real cool thing. And that she really wants to hear it or that she would know whether or not he was making it up. I almost want to be like, I want to be like, that's not it.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, that's wrong. The 28th digit was wrong.
Yeah.
Just come up with like a random.
Yeah, let him get to 28. Yeah.
Cecilia heard it and she's like, what's he doing? Because he's like, 6, 7, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That Rain Man over here counting the toothpicks on the floor.
I was like, he's reciting pi to her.
Oh my God.
It's really... So, yeah,
it's horrible.
I was just like, oh, I feel so bad for women who go on dates with men.
I really do, too. I can't imagine. Can you imagine going on a date with a man? Like, honest to God. I'm just talking about purely, like, conversational kind of stuff.
This guy was insufferable. But then the other thing is, I'm like, he's probably, like, one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably this...
Oh, like, assault-wise?
Yeah.
Ugh, spare me. I'm so sick of him.
Like, assault-wise? I love that. Like, the standard for being good is like, oh, he's probably not a serial predator. Like,
yeah.
Like that's like, wow, he's one of the good ones. He's not a fucking criminal. Like, like assault-wise.
I mean, that is kind of how I meant it. I'm like, he didn't seem... Like physically threatening.
Right.
Yeah.
But and he's probably like this very like liberal guy or whatever.
That's almost
just seems
worse.
So
I'm so sick of male progressives. Like I really am.
So
that's funny. Anyway, go on.
Well no, so the movie ends and I don't know why she would ask this. She was like, what'd you think? And I'm like, why?
No. She didn't have to ask though. You know he's gonna give his full like Rotten Tomatoes review.
Oh, yeah. He had it ready to go.
I bet he's one of those guys that refers to movies as films.
Yeah.
Like, never says the word movie.
He was judging everything from, like, the costumes to the makeup to whatever. And then, of course, the book was better. Mm. And
of course.
Yeah. But the funny part was when we were exiting the theater, Cecilia asked me what I thought of the movie, and I just launch into an impression of this douchebag, and I'm like, well, considering that budget, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then and we're like laughing and walking, and then we definitely walked by the girl that he was on the date with. He wasn't around, and she looked like she knew what we were doing.
Oh my God.
Making fun of him. Like,
that's so funny.
Sorry, but maybe you should realize that you're with the kind of guy that...
Also, like, movies are the worst idea for a date. Until you're, like, dating someone.
Yeah.
I've always found it so bizarre that people want to go on dates to movies on, like, an early in the relationship date, like first, second, third, even fourth. I don't know. It's like, it's awkward because you're not supposed to talk, but you're sitting next to each other in this dark room for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something to that tension, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what's appealing. But other than that,
I don't find that. I feel like that tension would be almost worse.
Yeah.
Like it's just because, like, what if you're hands brushed together. I don't know. Yeah. It's weird. Yeah.
I'm laughing because my first date with my now long-term girlfriend was to see Carol at the Angelica.
What?
Oh,
my God. That's amazing.
Gayest.
That is so
relationship origin story.
Yeah. So bad. And you know what? People at that screening were animals. We were just like, it was, I assume, a huge lesbian crowd. And anytime there was any, like, sex scene or physicality, they would howl. They were like, woo! You know, you'd see a tit and people would lose their minds. Yeah, so I would actually like to see it again outside of that context and decide if it holds up.
It's on Netflix.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Great.
My first date with my ex-wife was at a movie.
Really?
Yeah. But
look at me talking all this shit on movie first dates.
You know, well,
both had already, experience
we had already
them.
Hooked up by the time we went on this date.
Yeah.
So it was different than that.
The first time, like, a Tinder date or something, or, like...
No, I get that. We were friends for 2 years before we went on a
date.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, and it was, like, a martinis and IMAX type thing that they did in Atlanta.
Oh, fun.
But one weird thing about that first date story was that we had been friends, and then I decided, you know, I'm going to ask her out on a date and see if maybe this is something more. But... I asked her out maybe on a Monday for like a date Friday night. Mm. And in between, we had a softball game together because we played on the same team. So then we had to like be at that game with this awkward thing of like, we may be more than friends soon, right, but we're going to have to just like hang out with all of our friends.
That is awkward.
Yeah. She chatted me and was like, why did you make me wait 5 days knowing we were going to see each other? This was really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my bad.
That's so funny.
No game. No game.
No, not at all. That's okay though.
So let's get into our topic. Mm-hmm. The closet.
Oh man.
Ooh, scary.
Don't miss it.
Don't miss it.
I feel like that's going to ultimately be our conclusion, that we don't miss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying don't miss it like it was like a feature film that was coming.
Oh, no. That's what I thought at first.
No, I don't miss it.
Oh, there we go.
I do not miss being in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How, when, at what age would you say that you were out of the closet?
Ooh, it feels late for me. I don't want to say late because everybody has their own timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But like compared to when I knew, which was in my teens and then looking back much sooner than that probably, I started coming out to friends I was like 22 or 23 mm-hmm. probably. And I had been in a relationship in college where we were both in the closet for the entirety of our 3 years together, which was awful.
Yeah.
And so after we broke up, I was just sort of like, I ain't gonna start talking about this or I'll go crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I told friends first and then my siblings and then my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a wild time.
A whole relationship while both in the closet. That's terrible. Was this in college then?
Yeah.
Or okay. So how did that happen?
Yeah, you know what? We were in the same sorority.
Yeah, I was in the sorority too.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. Mm-hmm. I feel like sororities are it's not called a nunnery. What's it called where nuns
like
live together?
Convent.
And convents are like sort of a code for like sort of hotbeds of lesbian activity, in literature and stuff. And I wonder if sororities will become that ever, because there is this place where like a lot of feminine energy is concentrated. You spend a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm.
We both quit. I started doing sketch comedy and I was like, oh, these are the people I want to drink with. But initially that was how we met. And yeah, it was bad. There were, there are like great things about any relationship. And it was like my first time like doing all of the big things.
Yeah.
But as in any situation where you like can't confide to people outside, we just sort of like anytime there was a dispute or disagreement, we would sort of like cave in on each other, and it was very bad and unhealthy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a sorority, but I imagine that there is some pressure to be inside the closet if you're gay, because you don't want people to think like, oh, I'm just here to probe
on people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what, I mean, I went to school in the Midwest at a pretty small school, you know, in like a really conservative part of the country.
Yeah.
So I was in a sorority and I made a lot of great friends, but I never once had any sort of attraction to anyone.
Yeah.
In that group.
Yeah. Of course, sorority girls are the worst.
Oh my God. It was a really fun time. I don't have a ton in common with most of them now, like to the point where I could still like, you know, go back to Kansas City and go out with all of them probably and have a good time. But it was really fun, but it was not something that I like. I think if anything, I maybe subconsciously made sure that I never had any sort of like attraction or anything like that. Because my worst fear at that point in my life would have been people thinking that, A, I was putting myself in that environment specifically for that,
right,
to be around women. And then and B, I just didn't want anyone to think, I didn't want anyone to know this thing about me at that time.
Yeah.
Because I had a similar timeline as you. I didn't really, I think the first friend I ever told I was gay, I think I was 21.
Yeah.
And then by the time I was like 23, maybe 24, I was like fully, fully out, but not and then not even to coworkers really.
Yeah, that's tricky. I don't know where you were living, but when I was living in Virginia and working in Virginia, I was like, oh, you could still be fired for doing that. I was working for a government contractor, and the rules are still weird there. So
I was working in like corporate America until I was about 25, and I just didn't really, I didn't lie to anyone. I never felt like I had to say anything like to get someone like off my tracks or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was not forthcoming at all about my personal life in any way to people I worked with for pretty much the entire time I was in the Midwest until I moved here.
Yeah.
So
it's funny because when I was working and doing internships in Boston, I was in the closet at those jobs, even though at school and everything, I was out and very comfortable with being out. But when I moved to Atlanta, I was out right away at all my jobs. And you'd think like in the South that I'd be more closeted, but it just so happened that the people I worked for in Boston were very conservative. Like my first internship, my boss had been a political strategist for Bob Dole.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And yeah, she was kind of like, she was scary, but only because she had her shit sewed together and she had accomplished so much. She was like a semi-pro figure skater at one point. She had had like a walk-on role on Sex and the City, but then was also this political strategist. But
really
then was
running
also,
the gamut of interests
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I was interning at an ad agency. She was like the new business director. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, she cannot know that I'm a lesbian. And then I had a job at a startup, and it was just me and the owner of the startup.
Wow.
And he was this really nice Indian guy, but I knew that he was a little bit conservative and I felt weird having him know details about my personal life.
Yeah.
So even though it was just like the two of us in a room working together all the time, I just never talked about stuff. And then a summer job that I had in Buffalo, I was working for Ryder Truck Rentals, which is the gayest job I've had so far. You're welcome. Yeah, I was working with truckers
and
stuff.
Were you repairing them? Is that what you were doing?
I did drive a lot of pickup trucks that summer for them.
Yeah, I wear a lot of cargo pants.
But I worked with these truckers, and the one guy that I work closely with, he probably, like, if I had to guess now, he's probably like a Trump supporter.
Oh, yeah.
But he and we would talk about gay stuff, but he had no idea that I was gay, but he never said anything truly offensive. But I'm like, if he finds out I'm gay, it's gonna invite all sorts of weird questions, or I feel like he's gonna be really weird around me about stuff. So I would talk about my girlfriend as like, oh, my friend, my friend's coming, or I'm staying with my friend this summer. And
Hard. It was hard. It was, being in the closet was weird because you had to, like, I can't even imagine, like, it's so weird thinking back to the times where I had to literally tell someone that I was gay rather than it just being obvious by my physical presence.
Yeah.
Just who I am.
Yeah.
But like, you really did. You had to sort of like vet people, and you had to like figure people out individually in this very specific way.
Yeah.
And you had to like weigh
have
your
an attack plan for
absolutely. You had to like think, okay, worst case scenario, when this person finds out, this is going to happen, or best case scenario, this is going to happen. And that's for every single fucking person.
Yeah. We shouldn't have to do it.
Yeah.
It's insane that we have to.
It really is.
I have a friend who wrote a piece, I think just like on Medium, but I really liked it. And I truly hadn't thought about this before, just about the fact that the coming out paradigm is maybe not intentionally, but really skewed towards straight people being able to have this moment of catharsis where they like provide acceptance for this thing and are like making a queer person feel like embraced and, you know, welcomed, and how, you know, the focus should be so much more on just like creating a society where nobody feels like they have to gird their loins for this conversation that could end a relationship.
Yeah.
Potentially. It's like, it is such an insane paradigm that we have to do it in every context, personal, professional, from when we figure it out until we're dead. Like, it's so much goddamn emotional labor as the, you know, the
term. We're constantly coming, every time you meet a new person, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah, we should just stop. I mean, I don't know how you stop it, but I think just like live your life as queer. And I don't know. I hope that future generations feel less pressure to have those like big conversations where it feels like you're divulging some like nasty secret instead of just like, yep. Just, well, yeah.
There's National Coming Out Day, and I don't know what day it is, but every year when it rolls around, I'm like, this is something that straight people invented to take the guesswork out of things. Yeah. Like, this doesn't feel...
This is one day,
and we want you to reveal yourselves, homosexuals.
Right. So we can stop wondering. So I can adjust my schedule accordingly. Yeah. Like, it's
everyone's
such a big
deal. Watching the door when their coworker Gary comes in, and they're like, "Is today the day? It's National Gary. It's National Coming Out Day. Did you know?"
Gary's like, "Leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm so tired."
Gary's exhausted.
Gary was on Fire Island all weekend.
Yeah,
he's so tired. Leave him alone.
Gary's really hungover. RuPaul's Drag Race finale was last night. That's great. Man. I remember, like, I feel very lucky in that I had a pretty good coming out experience.
Yeah.
But that, I still remember very vividly that feeling of, like, first only being able to kind of come out to other gay people or queer people, which I think, I imagine that's, like, kind of a thing amongst all of us, is we all had, like, that one gay friend that's usually a guy that we would come out to.
Oh, mine was a guy. Not me. Friend, a female friend, and I told her over AIM.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, having that written communication kind of thing was nice, too, because sometimes you just have to do it that way.
Right.
You know?
You guys have already had Alex Song on the podcast. I don't know if she would have been able to mention this there. I don't know what you were talking about, but
hats.
Oh, okay. So maybe this didn't come up in the course of conversation about hats, but one of my favorite bits that she does in her stand-up is like, I think she just changed her AOL away message to "I'm gay" for like 5 seconds and then took it down.
It's like, you know what? Yeah. Whoever saw it,
she's just like, I still don't know. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow.
I love that.
It's so a good idea. It's so easy. Why didn't I do that?
Man, I was going to say that's pretty bold to come out on AIM to somebody because then there's like proof. Like in case I don't know. My friends and I fought a lot when I was a teenager, so like I couldn't imagine having those words out there to one of them.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
They would
that
show
was
someone
how
else when
I
they
felt
came over.
About I knew that like all of my I grew up in Virginia, sort of southernish Virginia. So I didn't know how my friends from home would be, but I knew my college friends would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And very accepting, but my younger brother went to the same college that I did, 2 years behind me. And we are now like best of friends. But at the time, we were sort of, you know, we were in college fighting over everything, just too close in age, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I tell my friends will tell my brother, or he'll just find out by virtue of sharing a campus with me. And then I can't trust that he won't use it as leverage, like with my parents over some stupid disagreement that we're having or something. Which looking back, I'm like, he is a good person. He would not have done that.
Yeah.
But it really skews the way you think about the people closest to you.
Yeah.
I made assumptions about some of my absolute best friends, like, oh, well, this is going to ruin my relationship with her. Or, you know, she's going to be so weird about this or whatever. And then you tell them and then it's like, it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
But then for a long time, I felt really bad about being like, wow, I really thought she was going to be weird about it? Like, why would I think that about someone? So it kind of forces you because you are preparing for the worst. You want to like brace for impact when you're in that space of being in the closet that you like, you don't want to underestimate someone's reaction. At least I didn't, because I was like, I need to be prepared for the absolute worst case scenario. And every single time I would tell someone that I was gay, and I did do that mentally, and it took a lot of it. It was a stupid waste of energy in hindsight, but it's just what you feel like you have to do.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what sort of studies there have been about this or anything, but there has to be a crazy rate of mental illness in pre, like, out of the closet LGBT
absolutely.
People, because your brain is stewing in sad juice all the time.
Yeah.
Like, not even at reality, but at what you're worried might happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I also think that a lot of times when you're in the closet, you think, oh, this is going to make my relationship with people better. It's going to be less awkward because they won't know and they won't judge me, and
yeah,
I'll keep my private life out of it. But I find that you almost have even more strained relationships with those people,
yeah,
because they're like, oh, Carolyn's really secretive about things, mm-hmm, or changes the topic a lot when we're talking or when
or
we're
super
all
awkward
this.
About yeah. Like, yeah. Boys.
She doesn't,
you know,
join in, or yeah, when I ask her about her boyfriend or whatever, she gets real quiet and weird, mm-hmm, and uncomfortable. And then you're just kind of a weird person. Like,
yeah,
I've known people when they were in the closet. I'm like, what's this person's deal? There's like,
oh,
something
my God,
they're hiding.
I know. Yeah. There's just a weird frantic energy.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
That I recognize in a lot of my friends. So I'm like, you're queer. Just, mm-hmm, figure it out. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It feels, I mean, it is, I truly cannot imagine being still in the closet at the age that I am right now. Like, at this point, I've been out for about 10 years, and it feels more and more distant, and like, it feels like something that was a lifetime ago, but I still can I can still feel, if I think about it, I can still remember like that very palpable nervous energy that is just like swirling around in your head all the time, because it consumes every thought,
yeah,
that
yeah,
you have, you know? And it's like, it like breaks my heart just knowing that there are people everywhere that are still in this place and either feel like they can't come out or they just, you know, they won't.
Yeah. I mean, you think that now in 2018, it's so much easier and we've come such a long way, but then, mm-hmm, also that's just in the United States,
right,
and like,
yeah,
Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parts of Europe, but
yeah,
even there are just so many cultures in so many places. I mean, my wife is Peruvian,
mm-hmm,
and when she was in Peru, like, she didn't realize that she was gay until she came to the U.S.
Yeah.
And when she was in Peru, there's just like so much stigma against it, and it's such a heteronormative culture,
yeah,
across South America that you just don't, yeah.
It's probably similar to, I mean, I feel like the Midwest is kind of like that, being from there. I really,
yeah,
like, the heteronormativity there is, it's just a given. I mean, that's just what it is. And coming and being an out person there is like this act of defiance in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Maybe not in like some of the bigger cities. Like, I lived in Kansas City for a while, and it's like, it wouldn't be as big of a deal there, but there's still something, you feel othered in that very specific, mm-hmm, way there. And
yeah,
it's a feeling that, like, as the plane is descending into the Midwest on the rare times that I do go back, I can feel it, like, I can feel my chest tightening. Like,
mm-hmm,
I can feel that someone's sticking their heel, like, right into my chest, and it stays there until the plane goes back up and I leave.
Yeah.
Because it's just, there's just something about it that's like, I'm not quite safe here. Like, I'm almost there here, and I'm with the right people, but I'm being in like public places, it's not very comfortable,
yeah,
sometimes, depending on where exactly I am in, you know, in the Midwest.
Yeah. I mean, so, when Cecilia and I were just in Arizona, and I'm like, let's just be aware of our surroundings.
Yeah.
And then yesterday I read this story about these moms who brought their kids into a mosque and recorded it and were just like yelling at the people and it was horrific, and I'm like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, it's safe in, like, New York, that's why I never leave.
I know. I'm like, oh, it's crazy. You know, one very liberal place, well, sort of liberal, there's a lot of hypocrisy, mm-hmm, and double standards, but where there's still a lot of closeted people is Hollywood.
Oh, mm, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I always wonder, like, who, and I'm usually, I mean, I don't really care about the men, but I want to know, like, who is gay, and like, how much is it, like, why don't they come out? You would think that these people have, like, you have the money, you have the status, you have all this stuff, but that's why, do you think that's why, like, that sort of imprisons them in this, like,
I feel that way, yeah, for people like Tom Cruise, where, like,
yes,
oh, you're in the grips of this other, like, Hollywood and this other crazy institution of Scientology,
right,
where your life is just not going to be your own, really. But in other cases, I'm like, there are people who live as out, and it's just, like, it's heteronormative culture that won't read them as queer, and that's annoying to me. And then that's going back to that paradigm shift of like, which also I've used the word paradigm enough times that I should be thrown off of this podcast. But like, it is frustrating. Like, I was reading this BuzzFeed thing the other day about Leslie Gore, the pop artist who's saying, "It's my party and you don't own me." And she was a lesbian and lived as out her entire, almost her entire career. And nobody wanted to talk about it. She was partnered. Yeah. She was doing like workshops and LGBT seminars and stuff. And just nobody, I didn't know until she was dead that she was a lesbian. And I feel that way about like Whitney Houston. We talked about this in a bar. Like she was partnered with Robin in a real way.
Yeah.
And Clive Davis or like whoever her mom like forced Bobby Brown into her life to sort of, you know, keep her image clean, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's like these people were living queer truths. And I don't know how much more than that you should be expected to come out. It's very frustrating to me that you still have to. Like, there are times when I catch myself being frustrated with a person like Queen Latifah for like not mentioning her partner in more acceptance speeches or whatever. And it's like, it's enough. Maybe it's enough that she's there and she's, you know, you don't, maybe we don't need to be acknowledging it in the, I still feel like, oh, if you can, if you're comfortable, it helps if you do.
Yeah.
But I do get frustrated with the expectation that it's like people's, that it's our job.
Yeah, that that everybody needs a headline or a cover of Time magazine. Yeah, so I don't know if it was Ellen or Rosie O'Donnell, but one of them was like, it was weird to me that I had to come out and say I was gay because everybody in my life knew I was gay, and I was living as a gay woman, and it was it wasn't a secret.
Right, you hear the same about Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, but unless you come out and say to a reporter, I'm a lesbian woman, like then you're considered as being in the closet. But but really you're not because you're living your life
which
as a
like,
woman.
Which also, we are strangers to those people. Like I think that somehow when we look at celebrities, we think that they have some sort of obligation to us because we know everything about them.
Yeah.
They don't know who we are. And it feels like I think people in general feel like they have some sort of relationship with the pop culture figures that they like or that they at least know a lot about.
And
like, they don't really owe us that. Like, that we're literal strangers to these people. It would be like just a random person off the street accusing you of hiding something if you didn't shout that you were gay at them in that way, you know?
Exactly.
Like, we are just really random ass people on the street to them.
Yeah.
Although, but then, you know, there's the argument that, like, should celebrities be using this platform that they have, and it always comes back to like, well, what
about
the young
youth.
People?
The queer youth.
The queer youth who have more and more like icons as, as you know, they certainly have more than I had when I was 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
I don't think I even, I mean, I knew who, obviously I knew Ellen was gay, but there were like so few celebrities at that time or people who were culturally relevant at that time, pop stars and things like that, that it's,
I mean, for actors, though, I do feel that the ones who are very closeted and deny it and whatnot.
Like Kevin Spacey for a long time.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, if, you know, you're afraid that that could ruin your career because in Hollywood, it's like turning 30 can ruin your career.
Yeah.
So,
if you're
like,
a woman, it definitely does. Yeah.
So being gay could be something like you're never going to be cast. You know, how since Ellen Page came out, how many of her roles are her playing a queer woman?
Yeah.
So many of them.
I still worry about putting my queer web series on my resume for when I'm going in for like mainstream auditions.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be necessarily pigeonholed as a person who, can only play my literal identity and nothing outside of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Which does not happen to straight people.
Not at all. Not at
all. No, they're the ones playing gay people on TV and in movies.
Yeah.
Even though there are so many queer actors out there that could have these parts.
Yeah.
And it's like that. I look forward to when we actually start, first of all, having more of these roles available. Like, that's the thing. You don't want to be pigeonholed as a queer actor because one out of every 30 movies has a queer character in it. So you're literally taking a risk of putting yourself in a position where you're just not going to get that many scripts right. pitched your way if yeah. you're an Ellen Page or, you know, because I just can't imagine at this point anyone writing a story, writing a role for a, you know, a heterosexual woman and be like, oh, let's get Ellen Page on the phone. Like, no one, yeah. that's probably not, I would be very interested to know what kind of pitches she's, you know, receiving at yeah. this point.
Which she did such a great job in Juno.
She was amazing. And, yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I don't think anybody watched that and was like, don't believe it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah.
Totally a dyke. No, she got pregnant. Yeah, it's...
Like, the expect... Like, I just... And even, like, with men, too, it's like, how many actual, like, gay actors who are getting roles as straight men... Yeah.
Matt Bomer is the only...
Yeah,
what's he?
He's the one from Suits, right? Suits.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right. Like Rupert Everett once.
Sure,
he was out. Yeah. It was like gay best friend roles yeah. only.
Neil Patrick Harris gets straight roles. I mean, he did obviously in what's that stupid show?
How I Met Your Mother.
How to Lose
and
a
then,
Guy in 10 Days.
And then
yeah.
they cast him weirdly in. Oh yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah. Wait, was he? Did he play?
No.
Oh, he wasn't in that.
No.
No.
I saw him. I thought there was a coworker of Matthew McConaughey. Never mind. He also weirdly got cast in Gone Girl as the guy that
oh, yeah.
the one that gets
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He gets killed, right? The character's name is Desi and he's the creep. Yeah, he's the like ex, her ex yeah. who's oh. obsessed with her and like a very straight role that he
yeah.
well, which is it's just so interesting to me that he of all people yeah. is like
triple threat Neil Patrick
yeah,
Harris.
Yeah, like
yeah.
quintessential Broadway queer.
Yeah.
Like, is somehow the
like headway
like, he's
on
kind
Broadway,
of like waify
yeah.
like he doesn't yeah. even appear masculine
it's
like
very
he's
funny.
So yeah he's fantastic but
yeah but he's
the
ladies man
he
on
got,
How I Met Your Mother
oh my god and I've read some scripts from that show it's like this is the most like this character could not possibly be a further cry from the actor himself
yeah but he came out when that show was on air like he already
oh,
had
really?
That role
I oh I didn't know
I
that.
Think so I think he already had that role because that was his kind of resurgence back into
yeah.
it was like Doogie Howser he was gone for a while
was he
and
doing
then,
theater in the meantime or I mean I don't
right?
know it's
I
just
know.
Like I don't know when he like officially came. I've just always known Neil Patrick Harris is gay you know
2006 is when he came out
and when did and, How I Met Your yeah. Mother start
I think that started after that I'm pretty sure it's
How Met Your Mother started
that show was on for a while
2005. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so, wow.
it was
okay.
while he was on
yeah.
it.
He booked it and then was like, whew,
yeah.
I'm gay.
Yeah.
Well, people probably saw him on it and were like, wait a minute. This
yeah.
is silly.
He booked it and was like, wow, this character is gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
But for musicians, I think that it's different and should be easier. But like, as we mentioned, Whitney Houston, Queen Latifah, possibly Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott is gay.
Yeah.
She's gay.
She has to be.
I love her so much.
I know. I really am obsessed with her. She's amazing. She's like just truly an incredible performer. And like, look at all the people, all the artists that she's like collaborated with over the years. Everyone has worked with her.
She's been posting
better for it
on her Instagram, like retrospectives on like, oh, this song I wrote and produced. And yeah, her credits are insane.
Yeah.
The song she doesn't appear on, but that she wrote and produced for other hip hop and R&B people. It's nuts. Yeah. It's like in the hundreds.
Like you would just keep scrolling and just read all these songs that you're very familiar with. You have no idea she was even involved. Yeah. She's incredible. But that's the other thing. She's kind of a classic case of that, of like, how much information are we owed about queer celebrities?
Well, and those three examples are black women, and the closet in the black community is...
It's different.
There's a lot more pressure to stay in, a lot more pressure just not to talk about it. It's like, if you're going to be gay, fine, whatever, be gay, but, you know, don't talk about it at the dinner table. Don't
That's something that's an experience for sure that I can't speak to, but...
Right.
I did really love that episode that Lena Waithe, she wrote for Master of None.
That was the only
episode of Master of None I've ever seen, which I'm not proud of, but that was such
A
beautiful...
You're probably fine.
That's the one to watch.
I've seen all of them, and that is the one. I watched that one, and I was floored. Like, it was the best episode of the entire series by far.
Yeah.
It had, because, I mean, a lot of it was that it very clearly... was like a one-off. It could just be viewed on its own.
Yeah, it was a short film.
It was basically a short film.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Like the actors in it were amazing. Angela Bassett. When I saw Angela Bassett,
a queen.
Like, what? queen. It was amazing.
But I thought that episode spoke to what you were mentioning really beautifully. Of like, there is pressure to just sort of even just keep it an open secret, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like open secrets. There's a lot of them that are just like, can you just give us the answer? I don't know. I'm one of those assholes that just wants everyone to be like out and blah, blah, blah. But it's like people have their reasons. And then you have to wonder, I always wonder what is happening with really famous people. Are they consciously, like, do you think that a famous person gets to the point where they're like, well, now I can't come in. Now it would be insane if I came out.
I wonder.
Like Oprah. If she were gay, if she and Gail are together, at what point is it just like, are you just deciding like, nah, it's too late?
Right.
Well, I kind of, for someone like Oprah, I kind of understand her wanting to have something that's just hers.
Yeah.
And that's
very true.
Like, because we know basically
every other thing about her life. Yeah.
Yeah. With Oprah, I just kind of, you know.
I fill in the blanks in my mind. And I might think I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with just believing that Oprah and Gail have the most beautiful relationship and that Stedman just, like, does the bills.
Yeah, and he just kind of, like, hangs out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Stedman's out. He's on the grill. He's flipping burgers on the grill. We're having a cookout later. You know, he's really got it made.
But yeah, with someone like Oprah, I'm like, Oprah owes me nothing. Like, she's given so much of herself to everybody that it's like, you know, you keep that beautiful lesbian part of your life to you, Oprah.
You can have that. We'll find out 100 years from now when you want us to find out.
Right. In some sort of time capsule that she's released into space.
Oh my God, that'd be the best. That'd be the best thing ever. We are running out of time on this episode, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to our random question of the week.
Yay!
Which actually has to do a little bit with the closet. When people you meet assume that you're straight, do you correct them and how?
Ooh. Yes, because I feel like I can and I should.
Yeah.
And often there's sort of an entertainment value to it for me where I'm like, oh, yeah. Especially if it's a straight man, I'm like, no, this has got to stop right now, you know?
Yeah.
I'll usually find a way to bring up my girlfriend, which I like shouldn't. This happened literally last night. I was alone at a wine bar in the Upper West Side. Thank you. Please stay seated. I'm watching my friend's cat right now. And so that's where the cat lives. And I was like, let me just have a New York night. So I was sitting at the bar and a guy started talking to me. And within 2 minutes, I was like, I've got to, I've got to bring this up. Not because I felt any problem with like leading him on, but just like, I don't want to deal with whatever it is you're doing. Mm-hmm. But he was very kind and we still had a nice conversation. But I do it in relation to either mentioning like a queer thing I've done recently, which fortunately, because I'm a performer, I can usually like throw out a show name and they'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or I do have to use my relationship to another person, which I don't think you should have to do.
Yeah.
But that's usually most efficient. What about you guys?
Well, that's interesting because with straight men, I usually don't say that I'm a lesbian or correct them. If it's like a stranger, because I don't want to invite more questions.
Oh, sure.
And I feel like in the past for me, it's more like that makes them more interested in talking to me when I just don't want to be talking to them.
Yeah.
And then invites a whole line of questioning or maybe they don't believe me and it's this whole thing. So,
or they want to like bro out about women and it's like, that's
a gross. I had a coworker who used to do that.
Oh God. Yeah.
Women are crazy, right?
Yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't actually.
I don't want to join you in.
I don't, Keith. I don't know what you mean.
Keith.
Oh God. In those cases, I mean, there have been scenarios where I'll actually say I have a boyfriend or a husband for a guy to leave me alone. Because they respect that a little bit more. They don't respect it. Yeah,
but
they don't respect anything I have more to say, likely, but they're more likely to respect that. Yeah.
If they can put you in your proxy to a man for some reason, like legitimizes
it's
your...
helpful. Always helpful.
Oh, yeah. They're very... It's an easier way to communicate with them. No one thinks I'm straight, so I don't have that problem.
Did people used to, like, I'll correct people, especially in work situations, and they'll see my wedding ring or something and be like, oh, your husband. I say, actually, it's my wife. And they always apologize.
And you do the Borat voice.
My wife.
Yeah. And then they apologize.
Yeah, they apologize. I'm like, you don't have to apologize.
Oh, like, why are you sorry?
Yeah.
I think they should apologize. Don't assume anyone's straight.
Oh,
that's true. It is kind of, that is a little rude. Like, it's... And
that's
it's just
the whole
like
fucking.
Not,
that's why we have a closet. Is because there's an assumption one way or the other, and it removes all nuance from everything.
Yeah.
I guess I don't expect people to be there yet.
Sure.
So it's more if people are like, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, tell me about your wife or whatever. That's fine. But sometimes people make a huge big and this is awkward or no they're like, oh, I'm so, you know, I'm an idiot, why would I assume that you were straight,
and you're like,
you know?
you're
you
overcorrecting
never,
here you're
and
course
like,
correcting.
Then again, it's your
you've
job
just
to
veered
make them
the car
better.
Off the road
yeah
you just drove it off a cliff.
Oh boy.
Oh, I'm so stupid.
And then they throw themselves out the window
again. I've got a whole
this
mess.
Always this happens to me everywhere. I gotta stop going places on the high floors.
God.
Yeah, I don't get that. People pretty much automatically know that I'm a big, huge dyke.
Do you not get it at all? Because I feel like if you got it now and you're like, actually, I'm a lesbian, and then
they'd
be like, oh, I'm so fucking stupid.
Yeah. Wow. How did I?
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't read into her men's clothing and short haircut and general domineering presence.
I keep having this instinct to like queer myself appearance wise because I do present as very femme, but I feel very queer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I keep wanting to like get a fade or something, but I'm like so vain about my hair that I like it long.
Yeah.
But I do want to do some shit. I don't know what would be the thing I could do.
I'm waiting till I'm a mom and then I'm going to totally dyke up my appearance.
Yeah.
Like, once I get to that age where I'm just like picking the kids up from school and just be the dykey mom in the Subaru.
Oh, that's
I love
great.
That. Just fully embrace it. But for now, I'm going to keep my hair long.
Yeah. Most of my experience kind of like as far as like interacting with straight men for sure is I do get the bro out thing a lot.
Yeah.
They think that because I look the way I do that I share the same...
That like, you treat women philosophy. Badly.
Yeah.
like they objectify women.
Oh, that they're they here. Yeah, because they think that that's
at
how...
your pleasure.
It's like, no, that's not how we think. That's not how we're wired. We don't just walk around looking at everything that's beautiful and thinking, I could kill that or I could fuck that.
Yeah.
Which is how they approach beautiful things. Yeah. Like nature. Like, oh, I could fucking shoot that with a gun. Or like something, like a beautiful woman, I could fuck her. Like, that is literally how they're wired in a very... Obviously, that's an extremely generalized statement, but the kind of
true
the
to
men
every
that
single
do
man.
Say those things to me, it's generalized for that one gender. The men that do say things, and they don't dive right in, but sometimes they'll test the water with me. They'll say something a little like, oh, look at her. And I'm like, okay.
It's always like another woman in the literal room that you're sitting in. It's
in
like, Jesus Christ, have some class.
And they give me like the little elbow, like, oh, this guy gets it.
I had to report a coworker to HR because he kept doing that at like luncheons and in the office at meetings.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want
to. Is this the one way we can bond as people?
We could talk about.
Do we have any mutual interest? Yeah. Do you like Game of Thrones? Right. I don't know. Like, let's talk about that instead.
My coworker
asked
me at my last job if I could have sex with any female in the office, who would it be? And I'm like, I'm not answering that.
No.
That's not how I look at my coworkers.
Yeah, I know. I don't have this ranking in my head. Like, I would definitely, like, that's how they determine, like, that person's general worth. Like, I don't know. My dick doesn't tingle when I look at her, so maybe I just won't return her email. Like, it's just that it is literally that simple with so many of them. Mm. It's pretty awful.
God bless them.
Yeah.
Kelly, where can people find you on social media? Come to your shows.
Ooh, baby.
Plug.
Plug. I'm on all social media at the handle at HeyKQ. It is also my website. And they can find me at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, mostly also sporadic other performances in basements throughout Manhattan, Brooklyn. The plug I'll give here is, I have a web series I love that I made with another queer person called Straight Marriage. It's about two gay actors who decide it's their job to do a dramatic reenactment of a straight marriage.
And I love it.
The show that I do with a couple other queer friends at UCB is called Here and Queer, where we have an LGBT monologist come tell stories. It's basically the format of their long-running show, Ask Cat, where we'll just have a notable queer person come do monologues, and then we'll do improv based off the monologues. And that's the first – we just got an official spot there. We're the first Wednesday of every month at 11 p.m. at UCB Hell's Kitchen.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to come to the next one.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I'm in town for that. Cool. And for us, you can follow us at Dyking Out everywhere and rate and review us on iTunes. And if you have any money to give, we need money to keep running our podcast and growing the audience and all those fun things. So go to patreon.com/dykingout. You can get exclusive content and cool swag that lets everyone know how gay you are. Or if you're not gay, it's a cool conversation piece. We'll be like, what does that mean? Am I allowed to say that word?
Yeah.
The answer is always no.
Yeah. No.
Just don't.
No. Yeah. Straight people, you can wear the Dyking Out pin, but you still can't say the word unless you're promoting this podcast. You can tell someone listen to Dyking Out, but then
it's part of the package. If you contribute more than $15
you're allowed to use the word dyke.
It's the only incentive of that package.
I think I might add that as a level. That's very a straight person level. We'll have it be the highest
straight achievement
one.
Unlocked.
You can use the word dyke. We'll send you a card. You can flash it to the lesbian that's coming after you with her hammer.
No, I'm allowed. I'm authorized.
That's great. Kelly, thank you so much for decking out with us.
Thank you guys for having me
and for being out of the closet.
Thank God.
Yeah, right?
I'll be thankful for that. Thank you everyone for listening. Dyke out with us next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.